Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep with your host, Joel Elkanen.
This is a volatile puppy here, isn't it?
And Dennis Dick.
I've bitten a penny. I will buy the stock for a penny.
With everything you need to start your trading day. Well, it was shaping up to be a pretty quiet morning until a few moments ago where we got some news on TikTok, and that'll be the leader. Dennis is here, I promise. He stepped away, but he'll be back. Spencer Israel, Joel Elkanen, Dennis Dick with you. TikTok back in the news this morning. We'll talk about that. Today was always going to be a more volatile day. You've got the SPY going, ex-dividend. You've got options expiration, quad of which. But TikTok is the lead story of the day as of 7:30 or so this morning. We'll talk about the implications of that. There is Dennis. See, I told you he'll be back. We've got, implications from TikTok SPAC of the day, another electric vehicle SPAC deal. So we'll talk about that as well. Jason Raznick is our guest. He will be on with us at 8:40 or 8:45, somewhere in that window. So a lot to get to on today's show. I'll bring on Joel here. Joel, update us on what has happened in the overnight session.
A little bit of a choppy session. We're basically unchanged here. We traded down to 33.31. Nothing there for you, folks. On the upside, 59.75. Nothing for you there. So a choppy session. Unchanged seems to be the big number we're going to be looking at today. Crude. I got a little pop off of Goldman notes saying, demand or the storms or whatever. So you popped over 41. But now you're right back under 41. So I don't know if that was just a little selling opportunity. I'm going to see this. Hopefully this consolidates up here for a few days and then maybe take a look on the short side. Gold in the green by 820 at 1958.10. Silver in the green by 12.5 cents at 27.22.5. And Bitcoin just barely above 11,000. The futures are up $60 at 11,010. And I want to bring in Triple D here. And first of all, where is he? I want to say
I'm in a fast market here.
You're in a fast market?
Yeah, I'm trying to hook up. My kid's doing virtual school, and the Ethernet connection's not hooked up for his. I actually moved the Ethernet connection last minute, and I didn't hook it up. So I got to do that in about 5 minutes. So I'll have to go away for a minute.
Okay.
I can talk to you for 5 minutes here. What's up?
I want to say Happy New Year.
Oh, it's Rosh Hashanah?
Yes.
See, yep. I know my Jewish holidays. I had to think about it, but I know my Jewish holidays, and I got a sneaky girl coming in the background here too. So,
all right, Dennis, go.
This is like this. CNN video when the kid sneaks in the background, and then the wife comes in and tries to roll the kid out. Well, this is happening here right now. Look who's sneaking in the background, just waking up. She's had a little bit of a bad hair day, but she's here.
I wonder where she gets the bad hair from. There she is.
Oh my Lord. I see myself on TV.
I would never get any work done if I had a kid like that around, man. I would just be.
You know what she's going to say to me now is toast.
Toast. You gotta.
She wakes up and she says toast.
All right.
She just barks the orders. I'm the slave around here. I'm a slave to Benzinga. I'm a slave to trading, and I'm a slave to my daughter.
You want to go take care of your house and then come back?
Yeah, maybe I should do that, actually. I'm going to be back here with you in 2 minutes. I'm going to hook up the Ethernet so my boy can learn something because his school starts in 10 minutes. And I'm going to go make sure my wife realizes that the daughter's on the show.
All righty.
She obviously doesn't know.
All right. We'll see.
I'll be back at you in 3 minutes.
We'll see you in a few.
Fast market. It's always a fast market here.
She's raising her hand because she got a question. All right. Let's go back to what I was saying before here. It was a pretty quiet morning until around 7:20, 7:30 when some news came out. Actually, Reuters was the ones that broke this report and then went to the Financial Times, and then it was official by the Commerce Department. But the news is that the Department of Commerce says they're going to stop people in the U.S. from downloading TikTok and WeChat beginning on Sunday. So if you already have those apps, you're fine. And you can still use them as you were. But if you don't have them and you want to get them, you apparently have 48 hours to do so, after which you will not be able to download those apps if you're in the U.S. So that was the latest development. We know these ongoing negotiations. The deadline Wilbur Ross also said that the TikTok deal or TikTok could be shut down if no deal is reached, if this whole thing isn't finalized by November 12th. That was from Bloomberg. So a lot of moving parts here. You saw Oracle react to this instantly. Same thing with the other social media stocks, Snapchat, Facebook, Twitter, not so much Pinterest, but you saw immediate volatility on this headline, Joel.
Okay, well, I think that's about as long as I want to spend talking about TikTok here. We could just look at the stocks, and I mean, no value in the app. I don't have it on my phone, and I could care less. I mean, I guess a lot of people...
Are you talking TikTok down again? I go away for 1 minute, and you have to try.
We've already covered it, Dennis. We've already covered TikTok.
You're fast.
Yep.
I heard you talking about TikTok again.
All right, go ahead. I was just going to give the technicals on
Oracle.
You're
not going to download TikTok before Sunday, Joel. Is that what you're telling me? You better download it because this is your last
chance. Can I just get it off my phone? I don't even have it downloaded. And I
it
see
shows
stuff.
Up in your Twitter feed. Eh? Yeah. Is that how you see it in your Twitter feed?
Yeah. I am days away from liquidating my Twitter position. I'm mad
about the fake Triple D accounts. And are they still there? I got to go check again because it's ridiculous. They just don't take them down. I was noticing there was all fake Jim Cramer accounts too, like pretending to be him as well. So I guess it's not just me, but.
Yeah, were they asking for money?
I don't know. Well, they say they small talk you first. Like I can't, because you know what they do? They block you right away. So you can't see what they're doing. I do see a lot of them are down now. I'm trying to see if there's Triple DD Trader still there. This was the newest one. But then there was @_TripleDTrader that was there too. Did they take them down yet? I see a lot of them, I think, are actually getting taken down now. But it took them long enough. So I don't know how they stop. How do you stop that, though? How do you actually stop new imposters pretending to be you on Twitter? Like, they can just keep changing handles and copying your profile and just keep doing it.
Dennis, you pretend to be them.
Oh, I could pretend to be the imposter.
You be Triple D.
Ask people for money.
Triple D.
It's really me. No, I will not ask anybody for money ever, ever, ever on Twitter. So if you get asked for money by me, it is not me. So it looks like they're trying, but that's a hard thing to stop. Like the security of it all is a hard thing to stop. And I don't know. I'm halfway. I own the Twitter with you, Joel, and I'm like 80% of the way there to be talked out of this stock too.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Well, I mean, all these years to be a great tech company and it hasn't. I mean. When is it going to move? When is it going to do something?
It's moving right now.
We made money. When did you buy this? You're up.
17, but...
Look, you're complaining. He's complaining because every other tech stock's up 200%. His is only up 100%. Yeah. He feels like he's losing money. You're in before me. I'm in from 30. So you did way better than me.
It better hold 38. I'll keep an eye on 38.
You tell me when you're selling, because if Joel Alkonen sells, I sell, because he never sells anything. So 38. He's selling, it's got to be garbage.
I mean, 38 has been holding up. So, you know, maybe, I don't know, I'll just forget about it. But,
it's up this morning on the TikTok news. So is Snapchat. So is Facebook. So is Pinterest, I would assume. Yeah, all up on, obviously.
Why are they up?
It's an alternative, right? So if you can't download TikTok, maybe you got to go look. I'll tell you, my wife is the key example. She used to be on Pinterest, pinning everything. She's on TikTok nonstop now, just watching TikTok and laughing at all the videos. So it's eating into her Pinterest time for sure. So if she can't have TikTok, when they're not saying, I think if you've downloaded already, you were saying you can still keep using it. But, you know, if new people can't download it, that's going to, you know, obviously push people back to the other platforms. So that's why it's up. Now, is this just positioning by Trump, though? Did you talk about this in the 30 seconds I was gone? Is this just positioning?
Not really. I didn't really get there yet, but ongoing negotiations. We know this is a developing story, so this would not be the end-all, be-all by any means. This is an ongoing process.
He negotiates this way, though. He's like, you know, the bull in the china shop when he's coming in there. He comes in and he plays it tough. You know, like, you know, he comes back to, you know, his show, The Apprentice, and you're fired, you know? It's the tough guy. So he's always plays a tough guy. But then, you know, even let's look even at his with Kim, with the North Korea president, then Kim Jong Un. Am I saying that right?
Kim Jong Il.
Kim Jong Il. Kim Jong Un was Kim Jong Un was his dad, right? Or Kim, that was Kim Il's son. Maybe that was the grandpa. Kim Jong Il is the guy.
So anyways, remember when he was first, you know, when he first became president, and he's like, you know, they're talking about the nuke wars, and he's like, well, we got bigger nukes, you know? So, and then they ended up being best friends at the end. They were shaking hands and stuff at the border. So, you know, can this happen with TikTok? I think it's just, this is how he starts. He comes in tough, and then he softens up eventually. So I do think eventually I wouldn't even surprise this doesn't go through, but they're talking about it nonstop. There is implications. Oracle, Walmart are trading down. Microsoft doesn't care because they were, you know, left, you know, without a partner here at the party anyways. And then you're seeing the other social media plays rise on this. Is this just a temporary thing then? Or if TikTok actually doesn't get banned? Or thoughts?
It's just like, it's just such a waste of time. Let's move on. I really
it's
don't
not
care.
A waste of time because there's money being made and lost in it. Maybe TikTok's a waste
okay,
of time.
If Oracle,
the app,
if Oracle does, let's talk
I was
about
sure
how to
Walmart.
Make money.
I just made a point off of it, so it definitely wasn't a waste of time.
Okay. All right. Oracle has been dabbling around in this thing, had to move after earnings, tried to, you know, make it, it has to hold 59. I don't care what it does with TikTok, but if it doesn't hold 59, it's going to 57. Okay. Walmart got hit on this, that 135 support. Dennis bought it at 135.10 and sold it at 136.10. 35.
No, I sold it short.
Oh, you sold it short. Okay.
When it popped.
All right. Yeah, 138. That's ridiculous for Walmart to move $3 on a headline like that. That Walmart has to hold 135. You can see that plain as day. And then Mr. Softy, who stepped out of the bidding. Mr. Softy.
They aren't even affected by these.
That has to hold
because they're out.
They're
Microsoft
out.
Okay. is pretty much right. out, so I don't think it's affected.
Takeaway,
by
the
it.
Biggest takeaway from this is like this could go on for another month, more, 2 months.
Oh,
who knows?
And the headlines are going to move these prices around, exactly. So there is money to be made on the headlines. If you're shorting Walmart there last night or shorting Walmart on that headline this morning, you're making money. So you can make money trading these headlines. Just got to realize the implications of it. The algos don't have it programmed. Oh, wait, TikTok getting banned short Walmart. Yeah, they will. But, you know, the trade won't go on lineup. Yeah, I know. And I just told them all. So now they're all pumping them on and getting. They say, hurry up that programming.
Hey, programmer.
What's going on? But it wasn't algo traded. I don't think so because it was pretty slow.
All right. So and then we will see if this ends up being a buy the dip situation. That could inform us that next time we get TikTok, you know, being removed from Apple Store headline, right? Next time we get that, if the first time around it was a buy the dip situation, it could be that going forward. So
I think it is a buy the dip situation. I think it's the bullying, and I do not think that in the long run the TikTok is going to be banned here in the U.S. or the downloads banned. So maybe it's a short-term thing for a day or two, or they're going to figure it out. So I think it is a buy the dip opportunity. I am long Oracle in the long-term portfolio, but I would think about buying the dip on this too. I don't care about the technicals because it's going to be the headline that drives the price. Walmart's back near 135 support, and yes, it's critical that it holds in. Yes, run option expiration, but if they get a deal done with TikTok, you're going to see a pop in the stock. So it doesn't matter where it is. So I'd like to maybe, and it depends, like if it goes through, and this is all headlines, so you're gambling on the headlines. If they actually do ban it Sunday night, maybe Walmart's significantly lower on Monday. But if they decide to back off and they don't ban it, and Walmart and Oracle get this deal done, we've seen before Walmart pop significantly, like to the tune of 8-9 points on this. So I don't mind the risk reward on Walmart here. I kind of like it. I'd be a buyer.
And also,
I'm out of my short, I covered my short because it came in for me. And I'm actually looking at it. I'd be a buyer this pullback on Walmart.
And so yesterday there was, you know, the headlines about that TikTok will have to, you know, spin off to its own publicly traded company. If there's going to be a headline about this every other day, watch to see how the market reacts to each one of those headlines, whether positive or negative. You know, I'm with you, Dennis, on the buy the dip situation here. I see no reason why Walmart shouldn't go back to 138 here. I mean, based on this headline.
Yeah, I think it's just bullying. I don't think it's like positioning is all I think it is. So I don't think it's imminent that it is getting banned. So let's look at what about options with Walmart? You know, if you want to play it a safer way, what about going out to next week? Because this is all is materializing. But if you went out, let's just say Oh, man, they got the premiums jacked for this. You can never make money with options. This is the story here, Joel. You can never make money buying options because look what they did. 140, which is 3.5 points out of the money for Walmart. Now more, 4.5 points out of the money, but options aren't open, so we can't see the price. So these will be down a little bit here. $1.60 for a week out in Walmart. Man, he just got a sell premium in that. That's I cannot believe that they've got them jacked that much. These options, they just jack them up.
In the money put spread, if you want.
Bottom line, yeah, you're better to do it that way, taking the premium, because you just can't make money buying options. It just doesn't work.
I don't know. There's a whole world. There's a
you are on mute or something, Joel.
Yeah, Joel.
I don't know, Joel.
Millions of dollars of options every day. Don't you watch CNBC?
I know. They keep telling us, you know, to buy options, you make money. I tell you, majority of people who buy options lose money.
All right.
Options are for selling, taking in the premium, but being smart about it.
Spencer,
are you just
fixing
your headset?
Please. I think it's just because I just talk loud. Spencer, please take the rein here and get us off this TikTok.
Joel's so angry about TikTok.
I'm not angry.
You should be happy. This is getting
rid of it. I'm about to swear if we don't move on.
You've never swore on the show. Well, this would be a first. Me and Jason have swore.
Well, the good news is if you swear, you can ask for forgiveness in a week. But all right, let's move on. The SPAC of the day here.
Ooh, I like SPAC of the day.
Yeah. PIC, Pivotal Investment Corp. They are merging with XL Fleet. What does XL Fleet do, you ask? Great question. What does it sound like they do? Electric vehicle trucks. Boom.
Why would you... If you're a SPAC, why would you do anything except EV plays right now? Because you see what the SPAC does on it. So what's this is PIC, P-I-C?
That's it.
What a crappy ticker symbol this one is. What's that have to do with EVs? Get a good ticker symbol.
Dennis, this is the name of the ticker of
Pivotal Investment Corp. I know.
Yeah, that's the name of the...
But you got to have like one that you're anticipating, you know? So you got the SPAC already in there. Like SPAC, S-P-A-Q. That one's cool because it's SPAC.
No, this is...
That's what we're talking about. Okay, I would stop picking on the ticker symbol. Ticker symbol. PIC, getting a pop, 21%. I mean, these things announce that they're doing an EV play, they pop up on them. So I never even heard of this one before today. I wish I would have, because 1050, it's trading around the 10, you know, the 10 support where these things just kind of hover forever. And now it announces something and it gets a pop. So... I don't know what to say. They're hard to trade after the fact, but if you're buying it yesterday at 10:50, congratulations. Immediately 21%.
Got a nice pop, 13:50. That's all I can tell you. Still holding the gains. Right now, a little bit over 13. Seems to be some resistance. Took out the all-time high from 2 days ago. You're trading on something that may buy something else that may be good. So if that's your investment mantra, then go in here and buy. I'm still fully trying to understand these SPACs and am not investing in it. So let's take a look at 1350, but it seems like there's a seller just over 13 right now.
I would just add that the SPAC that I speculated on a few weeks ago, GMHI, I sold that one yesterday or the day before.
That announced something?
Yeah, that's the one that's merging with Peter Thiel's AI car company.
Well, that sounds cool. Why'd you sell it?
Because it wasn't doing anything.
What do you mean it wasn't doing? It went up for three. It went from 11 to 13.5.
Yeah, and then I saw. And then
pretty
I saw,
darn good.
Not really. I guess I have higher expectations.
you made 20% in 2 days. No, holy, the expectations that this market has created is out of hand.
It
used to be 20% in a year was a pretty good year. Now if you don't make 20% in 3 days, you suck. I got to move on to where the good money is.
Yeah, I need some action.
Some action. You walked yourself into this one. Slow pitched that one right up the middle to me.
Dennis, I bought it like 3 weeks ago.
It's so 20% in 3 weeks. That sucks.
I got it.
The annualized return on that is only 300% a year. You're a terrible money manager in this market if you're only making 300% a year.
All right. Anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there.
You know what? This mentality that's like, oh, this isn't enough. I'm not making enough on this.
I get tired of looking at it.
So. I get tired of looking at it. You're listening to me too much, Spencer. Yeah. That's the problem.
He doesn't like that.
I don't hold anything for more than 5 minutes.
Yeah. he doesn't like that the candle from Wednesday. And then
I don't like the candle either.
And then Thursday you got the follow through. So Let's see. Right. I mean, a lot of air under that low from yesterday. That low from yesterday. We're trading up 7 cents. After that kind of shellacking, you like to see a getaway. 1229. There you go. Another low at 1238. If not, pair of lows might save you. Spotting 1170, 1180, 1175. Next support point in GMHI.
Back attack. I want to go away from the SPACs, away from TikTok. We're going to some more movers here. Beyond Meat.
Oh, a real stock. Okay,
actually, downgrades Beyond Meat.
JP Morgan is down to underweight. Downgrading
the sell.
Yep, their version of the sell rating. That's the first downgrade I'm seeing in the Benzinger Pro and Beyond Meat since the end of June.
Problem is, they timed it well here, Joel. They looked at that and said, hey, we got 3-4 tops in the same area. Now's our time to strike. We're catching some breakout traders here.
Nice.
Let's pull the rug out from under them and downgrade it now. So they're using their charts to time this thing. It was looking good before this downgrade. Does this catch a few traders? It probably does. I don't know. But the candle from yesterday, you're up from 136. What was the headline yesterday? I mean, oh, wait a second. Sorry, I'm on a weekly. What was the headline? But the last 3 days, we went from like 140. It's been really flying here.
Yeah.
Well, why has Beyond Meat been so hot the last like week and a half?
Well,
I haven't been following.
Last 4 days.
Yeah. Do we know?
Well, there was a headline last week that about their products being in Starbucks in China. Mm-hmm. They announced a new product.
So you're telling me you're going to get
Friday or Monday. So, yeah.
Like a sausage and Starbucks type deal? Because that worked so well in Tim Hortons.
And they also announced a new product. They have Beyond Meatballs, which I guess seems like a no-brainer. If you're going to do meat, you might as well ball them up.
Beyond Meatballs.
I don't have an answer for you.
But down $6. It's priced probably what, I'm not buying it because I want to see how it reacts. Let's see what it does yesterday's low. Can it bounce off yesterday's low? 149.26. Let's try to bounce off 150. You're trying to find some support there. If it can hold 149.26, it has the potential to, shrug this downgrade off. If it breaches 149.26 and starts breaking trend, then, because you see JP Morgan, they can carry a very, heavy stick. And they have a lot of weight. So, you could see some follow through selling too. I would say that's my level. I think Joel agrees with me. 149.26. If you're trying to pick the bottom here, I am not.
And if you are trying to pick a bottom, if you do catch it, I just don't think you're going to have to find an intermediate point here because your close is 157.22. The high was 157.58. So, I could come up with a daily number here for you guys, but we don't have time to go through that. But an intermediate point in there, maybe 152.5, 153, if you're lucky. I wouldn't think you're going to see 155, even what the previous day's close is 156.57. So I see like a trading range in this today, maybe like 148, to like 152.5, 153.
All right. I don't know if you guys bought the dip in Dave and Buster's, but some people are doing that this morning.
Working.
It's
Dennis, can you believe how that bankrupt company and you're like, you were looking at it, and then.
It's 17, and I'm like, poof, they're talking bankruptcy. That could go a hell of a lot lower. It did. Went all the way down to the 12 handle, or 1301. Hit all the way down to 1301, bounced a bet. I'm never buying a company that is talking that they could potentially go bankrupt. Sorry. Never, never, never. Page 11 of our book that somebody else is going to eventually write for us because we keep giving it all away. But when they start talking bankruptcy, no thank you. So is it going to go bankrupt? We don't know. I don't think so. I think they'll get the money. But again, we know you're out of the blue and you're just talking and start talking like nobody's seen that coming. Because the stock was trading $18. When it'd be at $18, they start talking bankruptcy. But, I mean, who's going to Dave & Buster's? It's the last place. There's going to be a few people that go into those places. But it's kind of like, we talk about, Carnival Cruise Lines and all that ground zero. Play is ground zero as well for COVID. So get a vaccine. Get through it. Maybe there's an opportunity here. I think it does. I think it does survive. But are they going to have to seriously dilute the stock to survive? They might have to. So I'm out. Don't want
it. Okay. Couple things here. One, technically, whoever bought the dip yesterday is trying to wiggle out of their piece at 15.5, 1560. Evident here on the 15-minute chart. Your pre-market high is 1569. So you got to get that seller out of there for any continued upside. Fundamentally, I mean, what's that thing? You throw the ball, the ski ball, or what do you call that?
Ski ball.
Okay, let's say they do reopen. I mean, who's going to want to go and touch all the ski balls and everyone else?
Bowling, all that bowling. Stuff. Tough. Yeah, the bowling balls. I mean, unless everybody's going to go buy their own ball. Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah.
The tough, you know, these public places where everybody's touching the same stuff. This stuff is trouble and for a while. Joel, you might have to adjust. I think you got like a loose connection.
My mic is the same way it is.
Yeah, you've got some type of loose connection in there because your volume's coming in and out. So you might have to get a new headset for tomorrow.
All you guys do is complain. Hold on.
It's the chat. The chat's all complaining too, but I'm complaining as well. Your volume did go low.
I
think he's got a loose connection in the mic because he's not doing anything, and then all of a sudden the volume comes out. So there's some type of need to buy a new headset.
When in doubt, unplug it and plug it back in. All right, I want to talk.
It's still low.
I want to talk about the volatility today in particular that could be as a result of Quad, which, Dennis, you noted this morning that SPY goes ex-dividend today. So talk about how these two things could play into today.
Well, always option expiration, you have significant volatility at the open and especially at the close because you have obviously a lot of open option positions and market makers balancing their open option positions against the stocks themselves. So you will see stocks pushed around. You will see pinning action where you've got big open interest at a price and naturally gravitates to that price if it's close to it. And you see big institutional action. So that's what really moves it around. If I look here right now, I'm seeing big buy imbalances across the board, but we know on options expiration, there will be big institutional action coming the other way as well. So will these pair off at a lower price? Probably. So what does that mean? Right now, if we were to open, we would open significantly higher than where we are because I'm seeing huge buy imbalances across the board. But there's still another hour for other institutions to come in and offset some of these big buys. I'll just give you some examples, though. AT&T, 1.7 million to buy. I got Bank of America, 1.9 million to buy. Coca-Cola, 1.4 million to buy. I'm picking on, yes, the big S&P components because those are picked on the most. Johnson & Johnson, 672,000 to buy. JP Morgan, 771,000 to buy. These are opening orders that will execute at the open. And typically on any given day, JP Morgan might have like 50, 60,000 of an imbalance. Right now it's 700,000. So that's 10 times more than is normally there on any other given day. So that's telling you, you know, there's going to be a big push here at the open. Right now that push is higher. Again, because it's so early, new orders could come in and push this prices the other way. So you can't just say, oh yeah, it looks like it's going to, you know, open way higher because it's got a big buy imbalance right now. That can change. You get to like 9:20, 9:30, like right before the open, then it starts to get, okay, there'll be people positioning against these imbalances because it looks like, but even, you know, they could offset the last second too. But right now we're looking significantly higher on the individual stocks if these imbalances hold.
Yeah, not much movement in the S&Ps here. A little bit just choppy action here. A lot of indecision here on this Friday. Usually, you know, they jack it up or jack it down and, you know, have a big move. But right now, bulls and bears are just squaring off right at unchanged here at 51. So, I don't know, maybe not as fireworks, much fireworks as on a typical quad witch.
I'd be curious to get your guys' opinions on this and the chat as well. Maybe it's just selective perception on my part, but I feel like there's been a lot more offerings in the last few weeks than there were in the past few months. I just every day I see like 3, 4, 5 stock offerings out there.
Yeah.
For the past like 2, 3 weeks, it seems like. Like overnight here, there is an offering from CKPT has an offering. And who else has an offering? HGEN priced an offering. ONEW has an offering. There was an offering from Truly the other day. Every day it seems like there's more, and there's like 3, 4, 5 stock offerings. And Chewy had theirs the other day.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'm missing a lot, but every day.
NEE after the stock split.
Right. That was after the stock split. We talked about that. It just seems like every day there's like 3, 4, 5 stock offerings every day for the last like 2 weeks.
I think so too. It's been going on for longer than 2 weeks. I think it's been going on for a couple of months. And not only the offerings, you're seeing the insider sells are just enormous. I mean, there was even in Peloton, I believe it was yesterday or the day before, a huge seller by an insider, like a couple hundred thousand shares. I mean, they're selling millions of dollars worth of stock. And they never look much at the insider sells because the insider sells are always there because they have to live, right? So insiders are always selling stock, maybe diversifying themselves. You know, Bill Gates used to sell something like 80,000 shares of Microsoft a day when he had so much Microsoft just to get naturally diversified away from the company. So, you know, some of these, you know, aren't that, you know, significant to look at the sells, but they do. When you put it all together with what you're saying, you know, you have a lot of offerings and we've been seeing an exceptional amount of sells. And I saw somebody wrote something up on Twitter and typically it's about 20 to 1, meaning you see about 20 insider sells for every insider buy. And in the last couple of months, it's been running 40 to 1. So you see insiders basically selling twice as much as they normally are, 40 to 1 as opposed to 20 to 1. And couple that with the offerings, I mean, it's right now just an indication that insiders feel that their stock prices are too high. We know Musk said Tesla was high, and that was back when it was 700 pre-splits, like $150. So they can keep going up after that. But other things being equal, insiders and you know, their offering stocks, you know, have a better feel for their companies than a typical investor does. And I would say the tea leaves are there. I mean, we've talked about, you know, you're not seeing rallies hold as much either. I mean, obviously, you know, we saw a rally last few days. Yes, we saw a buy the dip mentality coming yesterday there, but trends are starting to break on stocks. It's not as rosy of a picture as it was a couple weeks ago.
All right, we talked about rotation for the past couple of days here in stocks like GE, and yesterday you had like U.S. Steel was strong. Well, today, you just now actually, U.S. Steel gave better than expected guidance. They pre-reported Q3 EPS guidance, better than expected. So X is running up here, up 2.5.
Did this have a headline yesterday?
Let me check.
Did you just swear?
No.
Oh,
I said let me check.
Oh, okay. I was just...
No. Well, yesterday it could have been the farm aid that Trump announced.
Okay. Well, maybe we can play the benefit of the doubt because Mr. Alcon's probably looking at a candle saying, oh, they announced better than guidance today. And
yes.
Holy mackerel, what a move yesterday.
Yep. I wonder that the guy in the...
Were the other steel stocks up? Oh, yeah, other steel was up. So maybe we'll give them the benefit of the doubt there because MT was up, NUE was up, STLD is another big one. It was up. Okay, we'll give them the benefit of the doubt because a lot of steel stocks were up yesterday.
Just one number, this one, for X, for you X traders, if there is any out there.
I'm an X trader. I like X.
Yeah. 850, 855. Remember they had that offering a long, long time ago and people that they jammed it down.
Remember.
Yep. And jammed it under $7. And if those people held through there, then, you know, you got the gap to go. So trading at, we're trading at 868, up 27 cents. So you're getting into that gap area. Could be some room on the upside as long as you hold that 850 for X. So people are finally going to make the money if they held out through that.
It's a nice breakout.
Yeah, no doubt.
I like the breakout. You know what? Value has been coming back into favor to a certain extent. You know, it's not coincidental that GE showing some love all of a sudden. Ford Motor Company, which talked about the show 3 days ago, I almost want to buy Ford if they're going to start popping them on EV information. Look, 2 days later, Ford, we're going to have an EV F-150, and we'll pop it up.
Our new market leaders, Ford, GE, and U.S. Steel, getting ready.
Let's start the ETF. Let's putting Ford, GE, and U.S. Steel in our ETF and calling it the trash ETF. And right now, the trash is hot. So it got hot last couple of days. Trash is hot.
We got to throw some maybe retail in there. Maybe throw.
Oh yeah, we get the retail. Under the banks. We throw some banks in there.
Banks in there. Under Armour.
Under Armour would be a good one for the trash ETF. We're building this whole thing right now.
I have your ticker. It's OOPS. Oops, that's your ticker.
Oops.
Oops, I bought it again. We'll see. All right, 835 S&Ps. Dennis, you said. A little more slated to the buy side here, right?
Let's go check them out and see if they're changed. They changed so much. Oh, they got bigger. They grew. Bank of America, 2.6 million. Gosh. Pfizer, 2 million. AT&T, 2.2 million. Buy, bend balances across the board. Buy, buy, buy. That's what's happening so far this morning.
This is a tough. I mean, usually I know what I want to do. Like, right on. Look at the numbers. Look at the overnight session. I know where I want to buy. I know where I want to sell. And I don't. I don't have a clue. I don't have a good number here. It didn't stop in any good numbers overnight. I don't know. It's going to be a tricky open here. Maybe something will materialize.
I am going to be fading the open. And what does that mean? If we get ridiculous pops here on individual stocks because it's option expiration, I'll be selling them short. If we turn around and start selling off the next hour and they get ridiculous drops off the hop, I will be buying. So typically option expiration is a great day to be a fade trader. That is typically how it works. It doesn't always work, but typically how it works. So contrarians seem to win usually on option expirations. So end of the month, end of the quarter, option expiration, third Friday. These are the days the contrarian strategies tend to work.
All right.
Write that down on page 13.
All right, 8:36. We're gonna have Jason Rasnick stop by in a few minutes. So let's do some tickers from the chat. Until then, being asked here about Penn and DraftKings, which we discussed. I feel like we've discussed every day this week. Penn, another good day yesterday, up again in the pre-market. So what more to say about it?
Well, this is all Kramer. So Penn was actually trading down yesterday, right after the open. If you look, and then. Portnoy tweeted out that he's going to be on Mad Money. And also after that, Jim Cramer came on and said, "Having Dave Portnoy on Mad Money tonight." And it ripped $3 in about 3 minutes because Portnoy was going to be on Mad Money. It continued to go up last night. The segment he was hardly on, it was a pre-recorded interview and he was on for about 10 seconds. So I was like, really? We ran the stock $6 for Portnoy to be on for 10 seconds. I'm like, that's ridiculous. But it's still holding up here this morning. The story is still intact. I am still long the stock. I bought more yesterday to sell into the Kramer pop, which worked out perfectly because it popped another $2. So that worked out. But I'm still long my core position as well. So I'm in from $51. I've said on this show, I believe it's going to 100. I'm going to stick with that until, something gives me a reason to not think that. But could this be, is it overdone here? Absolutely. The stock, I did not think when I bought this at $51 2 weeks ago that I would be up 40% in 2 weeks. You know, part of me says that's a pretty good move. You know, maybe I should take the Spencer Israel profits on that.
Yeah, that's not enough for Spencer.
Yeah, but that's a pretty good move. It's a big move. Is it due for a pullback? It is. It's not going straight to 100. I still think it's going to 100. I'm trying not to look at it. But as a trade, if you're coming in now, you're a little late to the party. Kramer said it best last night. I'd wait for a pullback to get in at this point in time. I would wait for a pullback to get in at this point in time. But I still believe that Barstool sports betting, not going away. This is going to be one of the hottest story. I still like the valuation compared to DraftKings, and they have the wild card in Dave Portnoy.
Did exceed that all-time high from yesterday. So if you're looking for a target on the upside, you did sneak through $75, $75.66, and $75.62. There are a couple 15-minute highs of interest there. Still trading below yesterday's high. Yesterday's high was $74.73. So get through that, working the 75 handle. This trade's pretty good volume. It's a NASDAQ stock, so we don't know if we have any sellers at any point. Real good volume day yesterday. So if in fact it starts to roll over, then it goes red on the session, which it probably won't. $73 was the close. If people are in this and they got the market 73, if it breaches 73, you got a ways to go to get to the close. The 2-day close is 67.84. So holding the close important, and who knows where resistance is.
This is why trading is so hard. Look at CZR and look at MGM. So Caesars on Monday popped on the news that they had a partnership with ESPN and DraftKings, right, for their sports book. So you see casino, you see betting partnership, you see stock go up Monday. Fast forward to yesterday, MGM announced exclusive partnership with the New York Giants. What does it do? Nothing, really. Nothing.
You know why? Because they beat them to the punch. So it's like,
I'm sorry, not New York Giants, Las Vegas Raiders.
The first points one those to announce, and ESPN probably more important than just this individual sports team, but still, you know, the hype was at the first one, and then it's like, oh, we got another deal with a sports team. And it's like, oh, it's kind of exciting, but not really. So, you know what the problem too is, and obviously MGM and Wynn, it's like those physical, and Caesar, I guess, too, you could say, but maybe Caesar's trying to like they're trying to like get on the sports betting maybe a little bit more, but it's just the physical casinos that are really going to hold these down. That's why like Penn has the physical casinos as well, but they're not viewed that way. They're viewed as an alternative to DraftKings. I don't know if I want to own the physical casinos for the same reasons that I don't know if I want to own Play. Yes, you know, if we get a vaccine, these things are dirt cheap. But again, there's just who wants to go and pull the dirty slot machine? Who wants to go and grab the dice and roll the dice that everybody else just touched? I mean, are we going to wear gloves everywhere? Is that fun, wearing masks and gloves inside your casino? Are you supposed to be having a good time? It's tough. Until we get a vaccine, these stocks can remain out of favor.
I guess not even sports betting can save them.
They're just not viewed that way. You know what it is? Sure, they could reinvent themselves and become huge, and they probably will become huge in sports betting. I mean, they're not going to stand around, but it's kind of like Ford to Tesla.
Yeah.
You know, GM to Tesla. The Ford and GM, even though they're going to have huge EV plays and be a big player in the EV market, they're viewed as traditional car makers. They're by the market, and they're given, you know, crappy multiples because of that. Until they're viewed and the sentiment towards those companies becomes different, it's the same thing where you're seeing the casinos like Wynn, Las Vegas Sands, MGM, even if they get into sports betting, are still going to be viewed as traditional casinos as opposed to DraftKings and now Penn that are viewed as sports betting plays. So I think that's the same comparison, Tesla to Ford and GM. And you know, we're a lot earlier in the DraftKings Penn story than we are in the Tesla story. You know, we're not talking these crazy valuations. Well, maybe on DraftKings you are, but you know, Penn's valuation is not crazy. So that's why I like that story, and that's why I think I go with the Penn or the DraftKings over the Caesars and the Wins.
Yeah, I do agree with someone in the chat. I think maybe you are underestimating or overestimating how much people in the casino really care about that stuff, but I guess
I care about it. I would go to the casino. Right. So maybe you get your hardcore patrons that still go no matter what.
Right.
Like they're addicted and I got to get my gambling fix. But, you know, half the people in the casino, a lot of going for shows, a lot of just going for a fun Friday night. It's like, I don't really feel like going and touching the dirty slot machine tonight. So you lose. And this is obviously why these stocks have been depressed.
Yeah.
I mean, vaccine comes around, everything changes. So we actually get, you know, not just rumors of a vaccine. We got it. Here we are. Everybody's going to start injecting this into them and never getting COVID again. I mean, that changes everything. It changes flying, changes Disney, changes, you know, all of these plays. But until we seem to be getting closer to that, and we slowly are, I'm hands off on these stocks. I think you got time.
All right. I want to bring on – actually, let's do one more before I bring on Jason here from the chat. Let's see. Any tickers? Looking for some that we haven't discussed a lot of this week before I get to Jason. Let's see. I'm here.
There's a lot of tickers. Here. Let's do some tickers.
Well, here's one. HARP, HARP. We have not talked about this one, I think, ever.
Harpoon Therapeutics. I've traded it before. I don't know anything about the company, though.
Me neither. That's why
I'm assuming they're a biotech company.
That's why I bring it up, because I've never heard of it.
Trend's your friend. Yeah. Obviously, I don't know anything about trials or anything, or not following the company. And we know any small biotech, you got to be following what their drug is and what they're doing. You know, from a just pure technical perspective, it's a nice little uptrend, but you know, we've come back a long ways too. What do you think, Alconin?
18, got a clear 18, hit 18 2 days ago, backed off close to 1642, 1756 yesterday. So 18, you can see it held up 2 days ago. You also struggled in the upper 17 handle back in early July. Just 18. I mean, it needs a clear 18, get some news, get over 18, keep on going. If not, I look fade back to the $16 area, good support, but just struggles with 18.
All right. I would like, if I can, to bring on Jason Rasnick here. He is the founder and CEO of Benzinga. I'm hoping to bring – he's here with us, but I'm having a hard time getting his camera and microphone on. I think maybe he needs to. I know he's listening to me, Jason. I know
you can hear bottom corner left mic button.
Get that mic and that camera on it, and we'll be able to see and hear you. But until then, sort of in wait and see mode for Jason, because he's in the Zoom with us, but he's not can't see or hear him. But I see him.
Bottom left corner.
So while Jason figures out his mic and his camera setup, hey, let's talk Boeing here. We didn't discuss Boeing the other day. I meant to, but we kind of ran out of time for that. I think it was Monday or Tuesday where they had the negative headline there.
Yeah.
Never really got around to talking about it. And I guess it's actually had a pretty good week.
Also. Reopening trades have shown some life here in the last week. You know, it's not coincidental that GE had a big move and Boeing's holding up as well. So, I mean, you have a defined out. Low 160s. This has found support there again. So there's great support down here. Again, this is all just waiting. This is flatline for 2.5 months because it's waiting to see where we're going on the vaccine. That's what matters to Boeing. That's what matters to the airlines. What matters to the cruise lines. Some of them have performed better than others. But overall, if you really analyze like Carnival Cruise Lines last 2 months, it's $16 in June. It's $16 a day. Boeing back in June, $175, $167. Basically same place. I mean, you can even go back to the casino Wynn Resorts, $78 in June, $78 today. I mean, they haven't gone anywhere for a reason. Is that they're all wait and see mode for the vaccine.
All right. Boeing did rally off bad news, found three lows in the same area going back. That would just, you have to call it 157.5, 158. Actually, you found, three lows, 57, 57, 57, 56, 32, kind of undercut and rally on those on last Friday. 170, 57, that's still a ways away. That's the week high. I'd use that in the target, but kind of establishing another range. And I just think Boeing's in for one of these periods here on the monthly, which we saw for a lot of 2018. And then a lot of 2019 before, it finally broke that 320 area. So that's what I say. Trade the range. You're good at trading the ranges. Pick your levels and go right at it.
Buy low, sell high, the same stock again and again.
Jason Raznick, I mentioned he's the founder and CEO of Benzinga, joins us now on Pre-Market Prep. Jason, good morning.
Good morning. Sorry for the technical difficulty for a second. I apologize, Spencer.
That's okay. You're
dressed to impress today.
Room, and he's wearing a nice shirt. Wow.
Holy.
Yeah. Which
all right. He's all of a sudden a suit.
I'm a suit. Yeah, I love it. All right. So, Dennis, you disagree with yourself today.
Oh, what'd I do?
You said you don't buy. You don't buy companies that are rumored to go bankrupt.
What company did I buy? Did I buy one that was rumored to go bankrupt? Well,
okay, so you admit to that. Yes. Okay. So, Dennis is right. He likes to be safe than sorry. But if you want to make the real money, the mad money, the millions of dollars, you were buying Penn National at $3 and $4 or $6 when it was rumored that they had this debt that was owed that they could go bankrupt.
I didn't buy it till 50.
I know you didn't. I know you didn't.
I bought it late. I wish I would have bought it at $3.
That's what I'm saying. You're hurting that we could have had some more people in at, I mean, you can see my buys. I bought it at $6, but I sold it at $12. Anyway,
I was too scared. I thought it was a zombie apocalypse back in March. I didn't buy anything. My wife was ready to dump her entire portfolio on it. She almost had me talked into it.
No,
so it was scary. March is scary. If you bought in March, congratulations, but that wasn't for me. It was too scary back then. I didn't know what was going on.
Lighting sucks. I got to switch it. Okay. So, this lighting's weird, but it's all right. We'll just deal with it. Okay.
So would you be a buyer or play? Let's bring it back to the stock we were talking about.
So, it's tough on play. In hindsight, yes. But here's the thing. If you have the time to put in the research, look at the S1s. Look at when the debt is due. Look at who the underwriters are, if it's the same underwriters for the equity offering. So, when I bought Penn and it was rumored to go – see, everyone's like, oh, it's so easy to buy Penn at $4 to $6. No, it was rumored they were going to go bankrupt. It was rumored that.
Oh, yeah.
And then I said on this exact show, read the offerings, read what's going on there, and then, make a decision. So if you buy stocks that are rumored to go bankrupt and they hit, you can make a lot of money. If you bought Penn at $6, $4, you're making a lot of money. I own my call options. I own the October 40s. I bought them for $3 a share. They're at $20 a share now. So that's Penn. And in the options, you know, that's where I take my gambles. I could have taken the gamble and buy. So my point is, you could have bought the stock at $4. And yes, it was rumored that could go bankrupt or whatever. But it's like buying a call option. I bought, you know, the call option at $380 and they're, you know, at $22. So
this is where you can make money buying options sometimes when there's all – sometimes those jacked up premiums work when you've really got a lot of opportunity and you think zombie apocalypse was coming. It doesn't come. Those call options worked really well.
Right. And that's all I was getting at. And it's like buying the stock, it's total – like you have to accept that it's total risk and it's not a safe investment. The investments that, you know, this week, DraftKings doing well for me. I own December $70 calls. I've been buying more and more Dunkin' Donuts. That has been basically sort of a flat position. But I am now thinking about taking a much bigger position in Dunkin' Donuts. You know, when you go into any building or like they have Starbucks, everyone's like excited about Starbucks. I think Dunkin' Donuts over the next 2 years is going to give Starbucks a run for its money.
It's been so long that I forgot what the ticker was. DKN.
DNKN. But I thought this a few years ago, Jason. I'm just wondering why you think it now, because I was obviously early on this trade. But I thought a few years ago that Dunkin' could eventually give Starbucks a run for their money. It's never really materialized. I don't know if it's this management that just, you know, didn't figure it out like Starbucks did. I mean, yeah, the stock did pretty well in 2017, 50 to 80, but you know, it's been an underperformer to Starbucks basically forever. Why do you think now that Dunkin' can figure it out?
Because they're getting more innovative. They're partnering with the Charlie D'Amelio's, like they're partnering with the, you know, the people that, you know, are movers and shakers on TikTok. But not only that, I'm seeing in social media, the social media trends and the Google trend data and on Twitter, people needing their Dunkin' coffee every morning. Like, and that's what I used to see with, you know, Starbucks. Like, it's starting to create that brand. Like, you know, where's Dunkin'? I want my Dunkin' coffee, not Dunkin' Donuts. It's the first time that I'm seeing it out in real life.
What they need is a better breakfast sandwich. I'm a breakfast sandwich guy.
Beyond Meat.
And, no, they might have a Beyond Meat one, but, you know, I've tried all of them. I make probably my best at home on my own, and I tried their breakfast sandwich, and it wasn't very good. Now, that won't affect the long term, but they really need to do is if people
the Starbucks
are going to get,
food sucks too, though.
Yeah, yeah. They need to get a better breakfast sandwich.
I disagree with Joel. I think they need people to love their coffee and become a competitor to Starbucks. Like they need to really develop the coffee brand and have the coffee everywhere and become ubiquitous like Starbucks is. You know, I really think so.
You know who is a big competitor for Dunkin' and for Starbucks that not many people talk about, but it is McDonald's. You know, McDonald's coffee, there's a lot of people that go to McDonald's for the coffee. McDonald's has made a new all-time high. I would say almost a Dunkin', you know, yes, Starbucks competitor, but it's an upscale coffee shop where people go sometimes for an experience. You know, they do go through there where McDonald's is like, I fly through, get my coffee. That McDonald's coffee is pretty good too.
Well, Mark,
you don't drink coffee.
But my wife does, and she prefers McDonald's coffee over any of them.
So mark the date here. And look in 6 months where we're at. I know people are saying Dunkin's coffee sucks. This is through there's an Instagram group that I follow and I see trends early and I'm usually pretty good at this. I'm usually pretty good at seeing trends. And Dunkin' is one of these things. I know there's other places out there, but I think within 6 months, you're going to see a nice moving Dunkin'.
There's big money. I think this is a good segment here to talk about. And what Jason's using is social media trends to find his next trading idea. Somebody who does a great job with this is Chris Camilo over at Dumb Money. He does a good job with it too. There's money to be made doing exactly what Jason is talking about though. And I don't know, I'm not a coffee drinker, so I can't comment on whether, you know, it's good coffee or bad coffee, but I can tell you for a fact that people make money following social media trends. And I think Jason's on to a good strategy here where you're looking at different social media, what is hot, what's being talked about. I mean, that's even for day traders. You know, you see, is, you know, this going to get, you know, the day traders talking? You know, you see the story, the headline breaking your Benzinga Pro. And then you look at it and you say, is that going to get people talking on Twitter today? Because if it is, that stock probably continues higher. If it's something that's just going to get shrugged off and not get people talking, then it's probably not a buy. So using your headlines and looking at your Benzinga Pro headlines and then trying to determine, you know, even from a day trading perspective, if though that's going to drive social media talk and media talk in itself, is it going to get a mention on CNBC? There's money to be made there.
And you could argue that that trade is, or that type of research is more applicable now than ever because there's more retail traders now than ever.
I think so. I mean, I do it all the time. You're just trying to get ahead of the Robinhood trade, trying to get ahead of the retail herd. And I see a headline break in Benzinga Pro from a press release or something like that. And I'm like, you know, you see some of those, ah, nobody's going to talk about that. It's like, oh, that's a hot story. Oh, that says EV in it. That's going to go. So, I mean, this is, you know, one, have your Benzinga Pro open. And two, anticipate which ones are going to get a lot of talk about.
Okay, they know what's going on. Hey, that's the flood stuff, guys. We got workers.
Don't get COVID part two from this guy, Jason. Yeah. Remember the last guy? The plumber got you.
I should take you guys to the office right now. You've never seen a thing like this in your life. It's saran wrapped. Like, the whole thing is saran wrapped, the whole office.
Oh, man.
What happened at the office? There. What happened?
His office, not our office.
Oh, okay.
What's going on in your office?
Where the leak was.
Guys, I got a couple more things. Dennis, you just took over my whole segment. You talked really.
I stole it from you.
Oh, really? Dennis talks too much.
I pitched Pro News for alert. You a few times in there, though.
Put that in there. Dennis talks too much on Pro.
Jason, what do you got?
I got, okay, so two, okay. But this is the office, guys, real quick.
Whoa.
Oh, that's not good.
We have a water problem.
And it's leaking still. Okay. All right, let's get back to it. Okay, so we got two more things. I'm going to take the helm for like two minutes.
No, I'm on mute.
Yeah, you go mute. First, I have to do this for my friend Bryce. He wouldn't leave me alone on this one. We have a boot camp next week. And the thing that I need to talk about is you got Mike Novogratz. He was at Fortress, billionaire. He's big into crypto. He's on it. They got Anthony Papalino, Raul Paul, I guess the guy from Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And it's an event focused on crypto and investing in emerging asset classes. The speakers will go through the state of it, how to invest in it. Spencer, can you put a link into the thing? I can give it to you if you don't have it.
I have it? Yep. Well, actually, so the link is always in the description of our video, but I'll put the link to this.
Okay, good. So thank you, Spencer. You're a boss. I love it. Okay, and then, so some stocks that I've been asked about in the room. So I've been asked a lot about GAN, and we'll get to right now. GAN is not trading well. It is now basically at the, I mean, I know we made some money on it when we bought it and sold some, but if you bought it again, it's trading at basically our buy price. So it is sitting down at the 16, whatever range, something like that. Right. And I still own it, 1698, or maybe it's pre-market 1711. We're not getting the color that we want to hear out of it. We're not getting what we want to determine if, you know, what's the story? I'm still invested. We're doing our research. They need some catalysts, some deals. I know this industry pretty well now. White House Gaming got White Horse Gaming got the major deal with Penn. I'm hoping actually Penn buys out White Horse Gaming, so then there's less competitors to GAN. That's what I'm hoping. I don't know how good the business development team is at GAN right now. I don't know what deals. We're trying to find out. We're trying to bring the CEO on, but I'm still holding the shares. In fact, I bought some more this week. I'm believing it's going to be figured out. The thing that Dennis would say if he was allowed to talk right now, he would say, Jason, you know, DraftKings Penn just goes up every day. GAN should follow along a little bit, and it's not. So that is a cause for some concern, and that's what we're looking into. If it's a bunch of insiders selling, why are they selling? What's going on? So I'm not one of those guys. Like, when Slack was going down to 17, I've started buying the IPO at 36. I kept buying because I had my confidence. My level of knowledge in the Slack industry is a lot more than the online gaming. So I kept buying. If GAN did go down to like a $12 handle, I probably would say, okay, it's time to, eat my whatever and sell some shares, because there is something else going on. So I'm watching it right now closely, and I'd like to see some support at the $16 level or the high 15s and then go for a ride. But it needs to get some fundamental contracts or do some things. I mean, they have good technology, but they need to get some new deals. That's my take on GAN. The other plays, my best plays of this of the last 2 months, guys. Remember I said, like, I don't make 100 trades a day like Dennis. I make certain high conviction trades at certain times, and I had them, you know, with Peloton, Yeti, DOO, PII, like all the outdoor plays. So I think of trends. So I've been doing the trend thing, you know, you guys are talking about Duncan. I've been doing the trend thing since I've been, you know, 15 years old. I sat in a Comp USA store watching how people reacted to the new iMac in 1997. I went at like 2 months in a row to see people would, you know, stop by the gray computers and go look at the blue translucent one. When I saw that, I bought Apple at $14. I still own Apple. My cost on Apple shares are $2 a share. And so I look at trends all day long and what people are doing. So I think, what's the future going to hold? What's the future going to hold? What are changing habits? So one of the things are, I'm in Michigan. I know a lot of people are all over the world, but it's getting colder here. But people still want to go out to dinner. They're going to buy, these restaurants are going to have to buy a bunch of those heaters, those propane tank heaters. So that's one trend right there. Look for stocks in the propane heating business.
There's electric too. I just bought one for our house, for the backyard. Lowe's has electric ones too.
DTE, you're saying?
I'm saying we got one of those electric. Because I don't want to deal with the propane all the time. They have electric ones, so we got electric ones. So
okay, good point, Joel. My friend has a propane delivery startup. If anyone needs a propane delivered, but yeah, they just drop it off. You just call it; it comes within 30 minutes, like Domino's or propane. But yeah, so I bought a stock, SPH. The company, I don't love it, but I'm trying to buy the propane trend. So SPH is one of them. S is in Sam, P is in Peter. You got it up there, Dennis. You got it up there, Joel, whoever did that. Spencer, I don't know. A lot of names in this room. Okay. So I bought that just to play that trend. I'm going to buy more stocks that have to do with the winter. My wife said I should buy Patagonia. I haven't bought that one yet because she said people are going to go on a lot more skiing trips. So she wanted me to buy a bunch of Patagonia for her.
What is that? Wait, what is that ticker? Is that public? Patagonia?
I thought it was. Is it not?
I didn't know it was public, but okay. It could be.
I didn't buy it. And one that's doing really well for me right now, it's a comeback from the graveyard. This is what I'm talking about, guys. If you have patience, you never know. You know I know the management there, but I don't have any inside info. Smile Direct, SDC. I mean, Sam, Dog, Charlie. I know the leadership there pretty well. The stock has come roaring back. I mean, I was down some money on this thing. You could have bought it back at $4, $5. We're in the 11 handle. I mean, this is coming back, and I don't think you've seen the full story. I think it has room to go. I'm still long it. I am still long it.
It's turned. It's turned. I like the chart. It's turned now. I'd be a buyer of pullbacks here too. I mean, I'd love it to pull back to 10 to really get into a sweet price because that's where the old resistance was. I don't know if you're going to get that chance, but I like the fact that this is now stabilized and turned. So, and getting, you know, halfway back to where it was IPO. So, from the IPO high. So I like it.
Yeah. And it's gone. I mean, I'm up. Like I saw Mitch Hotch tell me Smile Direct's a horrible stock. 222% I'm up on it, Mitch. Tell me it's a horrible stock again. Okay. Tell me. Now, it's not to say that I wasn't down 50% on it and 60% on it, but then I just kept throwing in my, I just kept throwing in more chips at it. I just think there's...
Is that an airplane? Did somebody land on your roof? Get the airplane off your roof. They're going to make another leak.
All right, Jason.
Hey, hold on. I got it fixed. Hold on.
What's going on? Okay, we're good.
I thought my house was crazy.
So
house.
Yeah. That was that. And then, again, so the boot camp. And then, hey, if you guys are Fidelity users, if you guys use Fidelity, I need you to send an email to Fidelity or hit this thing, say, we'd love to have Benzinga News added to the Fidelity platform. Send me a screenshot at jason@benzinga.com and I'll get you a t-shirt. I need your address and size. Address and size, send a screenshot. And we got some more cool stuff coming for you guys. Like, there's some good stuff coming. Sorry, I didn't see that one. Upwork, I still own Upwork. I own call options on Upwork. It plays in the Fiverr space. That's UPWK. And then
stop at Upwork for a second. That's a nice looking chart. What do you think of this one, Joel? I'm going to stop for 1 minute. We're going to let Jason finish. That's a nice looking chart.
You know what? We've been looking at this one. And
we have.
Let's see. Let me pull it up there.
I kind of like this chart. Sleepy.
It's the big boys are backing up the truck at 15 here.
Yeah.
14.75 to 15.
Jason's and on it here, I think.
I talked about this. Yeah, just like, to get really excited about this one, you got to get over this little pesky high at 16, 32, and hold 16. But the big boys are stepping up here at 15, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I have some additional color on Upwork. I told you guys, I do my own research on this stuff. I told you guys about Upwork, how they changed the platform where you can't go off platform as easily. And I guarantee you they're going to have more revenue in it. They're going to have more revenue because of that. But I expect good quarterly earnings from them for this past quarter. So I'm long that. I'm playing a little detail that I found that most people didn't. I did this back in the day on other stocks. I'll give you an example. Yahoo.com used to be a public company. And a long time ago, in year 2000 or 2001, I owned online dating sites. Basically, every city and ethnicity, I owned sites. Yahoo introduced Yahoo Personals. For 6 months, it was completely free. All of a sudden, they introduced $20 a month. No analyst saw that. So I buy the stock up. I listen to the analyst call, and they had the Piper Jaffray analyst, forget her name. And no one could understand why Yahoo's earnings were up an extra revenue was up $40 million. No one brought up online personals because they just didn't pay it. They don't pay attention to the details. I bought the stock as much as I could, and I was right with my theory. I have that same theory with Upwork right now on how they're changing their model with pricing on the platform versus off the platform. And so that is my other reason, not just because of chart, but that's my conviction. And listen, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But here's the way I look at it. What is my downside? Is it down to 12 or is it up to 22? I think it's up to 22. And that's the way I play it because of a little thing I found. And I try to listen to everything. I try to pay attention to everything. So if someone mentioned Chris Camillo, Chris and I have been good friends for 7-8 years. I invested in his startup many years ago. That wasn't a good one. I lost my money, but I didn't lose our friendship. And I didn't put much money in. But I'm talking to everyone and anyone about different stocks. So we love, like Joel will tell you, we love this show because we can discuss stocks and bring ideas to each other. And that's the whole point of this. Oh, last one, RKT. RKT. So RKT, you want to put up a chart, guys, just so we can, and then we'll call it a day for me, I guess, Spencer?
Sure. What do you have on RKT?
Well, I have a chart. So RKT is sitting at 22. Oh, yeah. You hit the like button, subscribe to the channel. It makes Spencer jump for joy. RKT has been a troubling one, right? I mean, it's not trading the way we want it. The charts are not pretty. I think this is a long, long-term play that will be great. If you're looking for short-term hits, it's tough. I picked up some RKT this morning, though, right before the show in the pre-market. I haven't played RKT in 2 weeks. I have my long-term position in RKT. I bought it in the IPO, and I'm keeping those shares for a long time.
What did you like about it? What did you like about it? Did it undercut the lows at 22 and change and then came back and closed above it?
So I didn't know it hit the 22. And so that's what I liked. I didn't, the charts, I didn't go, you know, I'm not.
He still likes the story on the pullback.
Okay. I just wondered because yesterday it had all that support at 22. At 22 and a quarter, and then they probably undercut it, and then they got back above it. So a lot of times,
the Jeremy Newsom trade, the undercut and rally.
Yep. So that low from yesterday is very important for that to hold up. But there, if it does, then you got a little. Looks like you got a little short term bottom in.
James Santagallo, that's sweet. You're looking at the details. Awesome stuff. I saw that guy Jay in the streets in Detroit last night. He was walking out of a restaurant, but yeah, I mean, so RKT, what I like about it now that technicals is that the way they can scale that company and the operation they built is just amazing. And I'm looking forward to when they get into further financial technology stuff. I don't know anything, but I just think it's a long-term play. And I have some of those long-term plays. And I'm trying to get out ahead of it. And that's it. Like, I'm not looking for a immediate thing. Yes, IPOB. I know our friend. I'm going to have him on one of these shows. But open door trade. It seems like that trend's going to be your friend for a bit, IPOB. Did you buy it, Dennis?
This is another SPAC, Dennis.
No, I didn't.
They're the one that's merging with Open Door, which was announced Tuesday, I believe.
I like the SPAC plays if you're buying them before they announce stuff. But it's hard. I mean, these things pop up and they go. I mean, I've been playing some of the SPACs. I like the SPAC plays.
Okay. And so the last thing I want to say, Spencer Israel brought it up. And what's the guy's name who's doing the IPOB? What's his name?
His name is, I have it here. 1 second.
You know, he's on CNBC a lot.
Chamath.
Thank you. Chamath. Okay, so but that's what I wanted.
Okay
so I get really nervous when a lot of offerings happen. I get really nervous because that is what happened in the .com space. And then whenever the market heats up, people bring offerings. Like someone approached us about taking Benzinga in a reverse IPO thing. To take Benzinga public, because our revenue, guys, is higher than like a 300 NASDAQ companies. I mean, there's a NASDAQ company that's $1 million in revenue the first 6 months. I mean, it's crazy. There's a drill in my head right now. Sorry for the noise. So I'm nervous about all these offerings, but Chamath basically did a comparison at 2000 and now in terms of offerings, it's like 80 to one in 2000, year 2000 or whatever, when the last crash, the big one. They had way more offerings back then, but I'm in the camp of Spencer Israel with all these offerings. So I have been trimming back positions. I owned Zoom since IPO. And I just last week, I think it was last week, I sold, I think I already told you, 25% of my position of Zoom. So I have 75% left and I'm a little max. I sold at 360, 370, it's at 410. I sold some of my Tesla. I cut down like 7% of the position. I may sell some more today, but actually no, I'm gonna buy puts. I'm buying puts. I talked to Dennis on the tax stuff. So I'm going to do some puts stuff on to hedge it. I don't like all the offerings. So I'm taking some cash off the table and putting some hedges in place. And I'm going to try to find these unique opportunities to trade. So guys, you don't always have to go big and make money every single day. That's how people get killed in the market. When the high conviction trades are there, like the DOOs, the PIIs, or the Yetis, like those kind of things that we just knew, or the TASTs or the Express Buy. Yeah, right. High conviction, 100% when I was on the show. But you go for it. You go for it. And right now I'm in this camp of Spencer Israel, or maybe not his camp. He mentioned all the offerings. It makes me a little nervous, Joel. So I'm taking a little bit off, but I'm still sell calls. See, Gary, I need to sell calls instead of puts for the Tesla position. I do need help on that. I do not know how to hedge properly.
If you sell puts, that'll be bullish.
So keep an eye on that.
Buy puts.
You want to do that.
keep an eye for just long term on Tesla. Keep an eye on 442.68, and the reason I like that number is because that was the pre-split close, and it obviously went up to 500, went down to 430 last week. But I just think that that's an uncle point for people, and it closed above it one day this week on the 15th. But long term, that's a good number, and the same. And I said the same from Apple. Now Apple's a distance from that level. The pre-split close in Apple, I believe, was up at like 124. So that's just a long term number. Keep an eye on that. 442 for Tesla.
All right. One last thing, housekeeping. I forgot to tell you guys. I'm having my friend Kathy Wood from ARK Investment on a special show with me. But I'm recording it Monday. We'll try to get the segment out Tuesday morning because battery day is Tuesday. So, and I'll ask, or at least I'll try to get the clip out about battery day. It's not about just about battery day. It's about her life. It's a little thing. It's a new little show we're doing. It's not consistent. It's called the Raz Report. And we're going to put it out like twice a week, once a week. And Kathy Wood is the first guest. Monday night at 4 p.m. and I'll ask her about battery day. So, but it's a show that's all over the place.
I'll make an announcement when we actually go live with that. But Jason said it best a few minutes ago. It's not about whether you made or lose money. It's about the friends you made along the way. Right, Jason? That's it. Okay.
I lost Spencer's time, but
I was talking about you and Chris Camillo, but I guess the moment's over. Never.
I didn't care this startup investment. I it's about the friendship you made the way. I would do the investment five times over again.
All right.
But I want one thing on that little Raz report. It's not just a stock show. The following show is a mental health show, and it's about mental health with some famous celebrities. And so it's all over the place. It's just something that I wanted to explore for a while and bring out stories that aren't out there to the public. So it's the first show that happened to be Kathy Wood, since she's pretty big in the world these days. All right. Thank you. And I don't own Winnebago anymore. Sorry, I got out of that one. Thank you guys. And thank you for that color drill on Tesla over there on the 440 thing. That's helpful.
Sure. Keep an eye on that.
All right. Yep. Watch out for ticker U today. That's your IPO, Unity Software.
Yeah, Eric, I own TCS as well. I own TCS, the container store, if that's what you're asking about. Wanted to talk.
Thanks a lot, Rez.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
All right. That is a wrap for us. Please remember, all the information and material from our show are meant to be used as informational purposes, not for investing or trading advice. You can catch a replay of our show on YouTube or on every major podcast platform. You can email us premarket@finzinga.com. Hit the like button. Hit the subscribe button. We appreciate any and all likes and subscribes. Joel and I will be back at the close. Until then, everyone have a good rest of your Friday.